text in verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Dear congregation, there is a cross to bear in following Christ, a cross of affliction, which at times can seem very heavy, and as a result, one struggles under the weight of that cross. And further, they wonder how much more they can bear. And I'm sure you've been at such a point. You struggle under the weight of the cross of affliction, and you wonder, how much more, Lord? How much more can I bear? We face trials in this world in following Christ. We face the attacks of ungodly men, and they at times will put extreme pressure upon the believer. They will fire unkind words, and also they will speak lies against them. Yet through the Lord's help, as we will consider tonight, the believer can remain standing and say, I will not be moved. You recall Peter and the apostles, they have been put in prison. They found liberty, but then they were brought before the council and being interrogated. They then responded in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. And we see there how they stood firm, though there were many against them. They stood firm. They would not be moved. They had hearts full of respect and love towards the Lord. And yes, they loved their enemies, but they put the Lord first. Our allegiance is to the King, and unto him we bow the knee. And we note these things here in verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Well, let's come directly to these words tonight. Now, I'd like us to consider, first of all, man's mischief. And then secondly, the believer's heart. You note those words there. But my heart standeth. And then thirdly, God's word. First of all, man's mischief. Secondly, the believer's heart. And thirdly, God's word. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Well, let's consider them. Man's mischief. In this world, we will face many a difficulty. There will be those who will come against you and against me, and they will cause you trouble. The enemies of the church are many. And just notice verse 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Not just a few, but many. It was so for the psalmist David, and it is for us. So it's not a rare occasion, is it, that the Lord's people find themselves pursued, find themselves in trouble to a lesser or greater measure? Yes, recently, we've been thinking of those who are suffering in China, North Korea. What a great measure of persecution they are suffering. We know so little of what they're suffering. However, we will suffer persecution to some measure. And we can identify with these words here. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Some unconverted men and women are very quiet, and they do not seem to give us too much trouble. However, there are those in this world who are set on causing us trouble. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, persecution is one of the ordinary trials of God's children. It's something that is common, because there are many who oppose the Church of Jesus Christ. And later he writes, it is a thing the Church faces in all ages. And we know in this particular age, there are those who are so against the church, and they seem to be gathering here in this country as well. Remember what the apostle wrote in Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. He knew all too well there was a cross in following Christ. He was believing, he was looking unto Jesus, but he also bore a cross of affliction. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, he would write to young Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The godly will suffer. And they should not be surprised that the more holy they seek to be in thought, word, and deed, the greater the trial will be. What's our longing? To be more like Christ. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's our daily concern, isn't it? Or to be more like Him. When we think of perfecting holiness, well, the great goal, is it not, is to be more like Christ. And we long to be more like Christ, do we not? Yet the more we seek to be more like Him and are like Him, we will find ourselves in greater trouble. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yes, we're reminded of those words of our Lord, that we're to love our enemies, and we have a heart full of love, don't we? Towards those that oppose us, unlike them, we love them. But the Lord is first, we love Him more, and we know we will suffer to some measure from the hands of ungodly men. Men hate Christ. And so the believer seeking to be more like Christ will find themselves in trouble. You follow in the footsteps of Christ, there will be those who will pursue you, intent on doing you hurt. What do we read here in verse 161? Princes have persecuted me. They pursued David. We could consider the Hebrew word, they hunted David down. They were pursuing him, searching out for him. David had those like Saul and those in the court who pursued him. And we consider, do we not, in 1 Samuel, how David had to flee and he was pursued by Saul. There will be certain men in this world who will pursue believers. They will plan their attack. And at the appointed time, they will close in. Words are spoken. Things are made difficult. Consider how they spake against the apostles. How they pursued William Tyndale. They laid a trap for him. And traps will be laid for the Lord's people. In particular countries, such traps are laid that the Lord's people are taken and imprisoned. Well, we may not face such in this country at this present time, but there will be those who will seek to trap you. They will seek to also trip you up. There is a cross to bear. There are so many, it's not just one or two, who persecute the Lord's people. Notice verse 157 again. Many are my persecutors. And you may be able to sit down tonight and consider a number who oppose you. You know they oppose you. Maybe in the workplace, the school, the college. You know they look out for you. They oppose you. It's not just a few, is it? Men will come together and scheme certain things in view of the Lord's people. And then they will pursue. Was this not the case for Christ? What do we read in Psalm 2, verse 2? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They came. They sat down. They took counsel. They planned and they pursued our Lord. You consider how Pilate and Herod became friends in pursuing our Lord. Or they would pursue you. They would take counsel together. They would plot and they would scheme. How we need to watch and pray. We need to be on our guard. How important it is that we observe what is taking place in as far as possible. That we're not ignorant of what's going on. How important it is that we daily pray. We live in hostile territory. You consider the psalmist, how he prayed in view of those that pursued him. Psalm 56 verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me. O thou most high, David was aware. What did he do? He turned to the Lord in prayer. How important it is. There are those out there who pursue you. In the places you serve, the community, there are those who will follow you. Take it to the Lord. Cry for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Pray that the Lord will give you strength to go on. Pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. How we need to walk circumspectly. How we need to be wise as we live in this world, as we mix with the men of this world. Now notice particularly the mischief here. In verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause. There was no cause. David had not wronged his persecutors. He hadn't wronged Saul and those in the court. There was no cause for them to pursue him. And ever since that occasion, yes, he was a sinner, but we can say he was innocent in these things. There was no cause. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, and they knew it. They made up lies about David, but there was no cause. It's interesting what Saul said to David after David did him no harm. 1 Samuel 24, verse 17, Saul speaking to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." And Saul then made plain that he was pursuing David and he had ill intent in his heart. David, he had done no wrong, and Saul later recognized that. Well, here the psalmist says, princes have persecuted me without a cause. Psalm 109, verse 3, they compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. And we need to understand, there will be those who will make up lies about you. There will be those who will seek to harm you, and you've done nothing wrong. No cause. You sought to live that life for the Lord. You sought to show love to them in defending the truth and speaking of the Lord. You have a heart for them, but they pursue you. For no cause they do it. Now we are not reminded of those words in Psalm 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. They hated me without a cause. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking there. We listen to Jesus there through the psalmist. The Lord himself made that plain in John 15, in the upper room, to his disciples. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 35, Psalm 69. It's the Lord speaking. And bear that in mind when you come to this verse. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. They combined against the Lord's anointed. They plotted against our Saviour. It happened to Christ. It will happen to you. You may be going about your business and you're humbly getting on with your business. You're doing nothing wrong, but then you find yourselves in difficulties. They ask you a particular question, not really to listen to you, but to trip you up. What do we read here? Princes have persecuted me without a cause. And why do they do it? Well, is this because you simply love the Lord and you love his word and you're seeking to do what is right They won't like that. And so there'll be certain ones, some will keep quiet, some won't outwardly oppose you, but there will be some who will come, they'll put a question to you, to trip you up. All considered a mischief here. They were seeking the hurt of the psalmist, there was no cause. There will be times when you suffer for well-doing. In 1 Peter 2 verse 20, we read of the example of Christ. In verse 20 we read, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Suffering for doing well, we read of there. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting how he stood his ground, but how he was silent. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. In the footsteps of Christ, let us walk. When men run after us to do us harm, with mischief in their hearts. At such a time, when you're aware that you're being pursued, they're seeking to trip you up, it can be such a burden. Will you take your tears of affliction to the Lord? That's exactly what David did when he was being pursued by Saul and those others recorded for us in Psalm 56. And in the 8th verse we read, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" The Lord knew the wanderings of the psalmist. He was like that fugitive, going from place to place. Remember, he fled to Gath and found himself in the midst of the Philistines. And then he would go. He was going from place to place. He was on the run like a fugitive, and it was a burden. And there were the tears of his affliction. But what did he do? He brought them to the Lord. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." Here they are, Lord. Store them up. You think when a child is frightened, a child runs to their parent with tears running down their cheek. You run to your Heavenly Father with tears running down your cheeks. Go to the throne of grace and present your tears of affliction. Here they are. Think of the little child. The child's crying, comes in. "This has happened. Take your tears, your burden. Somebody's unkind to you. You did nothing wrong. And yet they spake against you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, here they are. Store them up and come to my aid." And take comfort. The Lord stores all your tears. Why does he store them? Because he won't forget you. He doesn't forget the affliction you are in. He's mindful when there are those who are against you and they persecute you for no cause. He doesn't forget. He will come to your aid. He has your tears. Every last tear you have shed, he has them. He knows why you shed them. He knows those tears of affliction. You're following Christ. There's a cross to bear. The Lord's not unmindful. He supports you as you bear that cross. He takes the heavy end. And he stores up your tears. And he comes to your aid. Well, let's move on then more briefly. Secondly, the believer's heart. "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, that my heart standeth in awe of thy word." He was pursued. He was persecuted. He had done no wrong, but he was being persecuted. It was difficult. The way was hard. But you see here, his heart was stirred. And it's a help, isn't it, when the way is hard, when suddenly we find our hearts stirred. We may bring those tears of affliction to the Lord. Lord, store them. And we find strength. There was no respect to God's word with those princes. And they were pursuing the psalmist and causing him trouble. But the psalmist, his heart is stirred. And he would not be moved. He was in awe of the word of God. Well, let's consider here briefly then. The believer's heart. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The psalmist had a heart of flesh. There was activity within. We, the Lord's people, we no longer have a heart of stone, do we? We have a heart of flesh. Remember those words in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. A new heart. A heart of flesh. There's activity. Think of a stone. Lifeless. Yes, it may roll around the seabed, maybe picked up by some young lads and thrown back into the water. There's movement, but it's lifeless, isn't it? But you think of a heart of flesh. There's activity. There's movement. There's life within. Are we not thankful we have a heart of flesh? There's love in our hearts towards the Lord Jesus. Before the new birth, there was no true love. Yes, we may have gone through the motions, but there was no heart. But oh, he put a heart within us. He put life within. The principle of grace. And there's activity. You think of our physical hearts. There's activity. Sometimes you can feel your heart, can't you? A little. You think of the heart. Blood flows around. And the heart pumps blood around the body. There's activity. There's activity in the soul, in the heart, sadly at times. I can see much coldness in my heart. There seems to be that numbness. You know how it is? When it's very cold recently, your fingers are numb. You don't feel too much. Your fingertips, do you? At times there's a numbness in my soul, but there's still a heartbeat. You be thankful. There will always be a heartbeat, a spiritual heartbeat in your soul all the days of your life. Certain animals, they hibernate, don't they, in the winter? And certain ones out in Russia and other such places become very cold in hibernation. And their heart slows right down. So very slow. But there's still movement. There's still life. Be thankful there is still life. Even though at times we feel the numbness. But you consider that little animal. Hibernating. Very cold, but there's life. But then the spring sunshine comes. It begins to warm, and the animal begins to come out of hibernation, and there's more activity. The heart pumps a little stronger, and more as the days lengthen. Oh, for the Son of Righteousness to shine quickly on our souls when we feel the numbness, to have that effect, to drive away the cold. It was pleasant today, wasn't it, after yesterday, after the grave yesterday, to see the sun and to feel a little of the warmth. Oh, be thankful when the Son of Righteousness warms your soul. Pray to him, come quickly. Thou knowest the coldness sets in so quickly. But come, blessed Son of Righteousness, shine on my soul. Lift up thy countenance upon me. In the cold there is still activity. But oh, when the Lord so blows across our souls and there's the warmth, there comes this increasing activity. And that's what we see here in our text. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Standeth, there's activity there. And there's activity in the soul, and a great measure of it. And sometimes we can say with the psalmist, Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Hard after thee. I'll be honest, that's where I want to be all the time, but it's not the case. But I'm thankful there are times when my soul is running after Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we're so helped to look, and we find our hearts drawn, they're inclining, as we see in this psalm, and we're running. My soul followeth hard after thee. Remember, in view of Christ, the psalmist in Psalm 45 knew that warning within this heart. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. There's the psalmist. His heart's been stirred, warmed. It's indicting. There's this warmth, this boiling within. He's in view of Christ at this time. And he's thinking of Christ and the words which proceed forth from his lips, the gracious words, as we see in Luke 4. And his heart is stirred. And it's a blessed time, isn't it, when our hearts are stirred in view of Jesus. And we're touched by his words. And we think of his gospel, such grace towards us. And how he comforts us. You know, sometimes we can be burdened and we're struggling under the cross. But he comes near and he speaks through his word. And our hearts are warmed and we're touched. Remember on the road to Emmaus, they were sad. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The Lord is touched and he goes with his people. And he went with those two. And even before they recognized him, there was a greater activity in the soul. And afterwards they must say, did not our heart burn within us? The activity? Oh, for a greater activity in my heart. The Holy Spirit comes and applies the word and cultivates the grace of faith and love. We find ourselves focusing more on the Lord and grasping the word, and our hearts are drawn. The Holy Spirit blows across the garden of our soul, and there's the cultivating of the graces, and there's activity with them. Psalm of Solomon 4, verse 16, awake, O north wind, and come now south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, that my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The north wind, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. It's not pleasant, is it? But we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to do such a work. But then the south wind, the comforting influence of the Holy Spirit, the soul-stirring influence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we look at the weather and we see the wind direction, it's coming from the north, and we know we're going to be cold. But then we notice the wind's coming from the southwest. That means warm weather. Oh, come south wind. Oh, in a comforting way. Blow across the garden of my soul. Blow across the garden of the church. That the beloved Redeemer would come and eat his pleasant fruits. That Christ would have more of my love. Would see me more focused on him. Would see me hoping in him. Oh, that activity. Oh, make it a prayer to the Holy Spirit. There's a reference to prayer to the Holy Spirit. We're particularly thinking of prayer to the Father. In the name of the Son, through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the general pattern. But we do see at times particular prayer to the Holy Spirit and to God the Son, distinct from the Father. Oh, come, north wind, excite the graces. Oh, that the graces would flourish, that there would be an activity in my soul, that my heart would be pulled, that I would be in awe, that my heart standeth in awe of thy word. When something important comes into the room, I'm told at a certain school not too far away, when the teacher comes in, all the boys and the girls, they stand up behind their chairs. They stand up. There's activity. Here's the psalmist, his activity in his soul, as it were, his heart is standing up in view of God and his word. You think when one stands in respect of the Lord. But here is a heart standing, a heart respect, activity. The heart is pulled, the heart is in awe. Yes, the princes pursue him, they speak unkindly. And there's the temptation to backslide, but no, his heart is in awe. There's a holy affection arising in his soul. The believer's heart, oh, for more activity in my heart. Oh, for my heart to be in awe. Well, as we close then, thirdly, God's word. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The princes persecuted him, for they had no love of God's word. They had no fear. But the psalmist was in awe. There was this respect. First of all, because of the author, God. Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The Lord has given. And you know, when we just focus on that, this is God's word. He's given it. Do not we find our hearts drawn? There's respect. Is the Lord speaking to me? Oh, such a God. He's so holy, so great. He's eternal, infinite, and unchangeable. And here's his word. And I can hear him speak in awe of him. You know, there are times when we're aware of the Lord, aren't we? Maybe in the times of public worship, in that special way. But in our quiet times, suddenly we're aware of him. The voice of my beloved. He's speaking to me. And there comes this growing respect. There's this respect because of the author. Secondly, because the word is powerful. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Psalm 19, verse 7, the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You consider how the Lord used the word in those early days. You may be able to remember a season when you became drawn to the word. The Lord was using the word and you were brought to faith, and how the Lord has used his word since then. It's had an effect on you, hasn't it? Know the book. It works on the soul. When I'm weak, there are times when the word puts strength into me. In the battle, I've been guided. I've been comforted in the midst of mine enemies. They pursued me. But a verse came, and I found comfort. I knew sorrow in my heart. Yet the Lord spoke to me effectually, and my heart was lifted. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? We sang earlier, and there are times when we're cast down, but then there comes a stirring. The Lord uses his word. You just think of it. Our hearts are so heavy at times, aren't they? Remember, the heart of our Saviour was heavy in the Garden of Gethsemane. So heavy. And our hearts are heavy. Yet God can use his word to lift our heavy hearts. That we then can be found looking to Jesus and rejoicing in him. Oh, consider the power of the word. Are we not in awe of it? Oh, have a greater respect when you're aware of God and he's speaking and he's helping you and he's guiding you, be in awe of God's word. There are those who would seek to lead me astray, but I'm captivated by the word of God. My heart has been stirred. I'm taken by the word. I'm taken by the author, the Lord himself. And I'm going to press on. Despite the opposition, despite what men design against me, I'm pressing on. Dear pilgrims, we have a shepherd to encourage us on, and we have a compass to guide us, and the shepherd through his spirit will use the compass, and we'll be aware of his voice, and our hearts will be pulled. Remember enclosing those two on the road to Emmaus? They had their enemies. They were sad. But the shepherd came and stirred their hearts, and they knew a warming within. Stay near the shepherd and firmly grasp this book. Be ready, like Samuel of old, to hear what the Lord would say. Well, here we have then these words: princes have persecuted me without a cause. It's going to happen. But you have God. And he's going to speak to you. He's going to help you. He's going to comfort you when men are against you. You be in awe of his word tonight. What a God you have, who is ready to help and is ready to speak to you when men speak against you. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we would take hold of thy word now. And Lord, we are in awe of it. Thou hast used this blessed book in our lives. Oh, thou didst use it in that way, in that initial time in the gospel. And we heard the Saviour's voice. And we thank thee, O Lord, for the way in which thou hast used thy word in our lives. Thou hast brought it home to bear. Thou hast brought it to our minds and caused our hearts to be drawn to it. We thank thee for the way thou hast guided us. We thank thee for the way thou hast rebuked us, for the way thou hast comforted us and strengthened us. Oh Lord, we are in awe of this book. And why? Because we are in awe of thee. Oh Lord, do come, warm our souls more quickly, Lord, when the numbness and the coldness sets in. Oh Lord, we feel the coldness at times. Come quickly, warm our hearts. May our hearts move more quickly, Lord. And may we know many more times in our lives before we see thee, that we can say with the psalmist, my soul followeth hard after thee. We are so blessed to be following thee, Lord Jesus. Close the distance, speed our hearts. O Lord, we pray. O Holy Spirit, come, blow across the garden of our soul. Heavenly Father, we come to thee. O help us to pray tonight. O so speak further and help us to pray. O Lord, bless us now. We give thee the praise and the glory. We will say to thee tonight, worthy is the Lamb that is slain. Lord, we would tell thee humbly tonight that we love thee. Oh Lord, the psalmist told thee often, we'll tell it again to thee tonight. We do love thee. Lord, at times today we may have not given thee appearance by certain things we did and thought, but Lord, thou knowest that we love thee. Oh, to love thee more, do pull at our hearts. Even in this time, hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our second praise, Psalm 18, verses 28 through to verse 32, and the tune is main. The Lord will light my candle so that it shall shine full bright. The Lord my God will also make my darkness to be light. And notice verse 29, by thee through troops of men I break, and them discomfort all, and by my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. Psalm 18, verses 28 to 32, and the tune is me.
The Lord will light my candle so that it shall shine full bright. The Lord my God
Thee.